ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Israel expanding its ground attacks in Gaza as its war against Hamas grinds on. Intense bombardments temporarily knocking out all communication systems. 21-year-old Palestinian student Tala Herzala.
I can't talk with my brothers. I know nothing about them. I don't know if they are alive or not, if they need anything or not.
The death toll in Gaza rising to over 8,000. It's estimated half are civilians. A mob has stormed the Makhachkala airport in the mostly Muslim ex-Soviet Republic of Dagestan in southern Russia. It surrounded a flight from Tel Aviv, apparently looking for Jewish passengers. The attack reportedly was fueled by rumors circulating on social media that refugees from Israel had been brought to Dagestan. The 54-year-old Friends superstar Matthew Perry discovered unresponsive in his jacuzzi Saturday afternoon. He was pronounced dead at the scene, the coroner investigating his cause of death. This is ABC News. The death toll in Mexico climbing to 43 after Hurricane Otis ravaged Acapulco, a popular tourist destination. Chaos and desperation as people struggle to find food and water, and looting continues to be a problem. Aid's not reaching those in need, with multiple roads closed due to fallen trees and landslides, neighborhoods in the periphery of the city in ruins. A living alarm clock is up for adoption. ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
When you think animal shelter, you probably think dogs, cats, not... not a ragamuffin or a retriever, but it has been retrieved in Michigan.
He was found out by the road in southeast Grand Rapids.
The person phoned the county animal shelter. They picked him up and named him, says office administrator Tara Robinson.
Gregory Peck is rather shy. He enjoys being in his coop on his own.
Famous name. He does remember his lines. And for just $10, Gregory Peck can be yours. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Family farm advocates in rural western Wisconsin are pushing back on concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, as the livestock industry becomes more concentrated. But local officials are also digging in. Here's Mark Moran.
Hundreds of residents of Pierce County, nestled along the Wisconsin-Minnesota border, are concerned about a proposed expansion of CAFOs in the county. Danny Akinson, with a group called Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin, or GRO, asked county officials to put a moratorium on CAFO expansion.
That moratorium did not pass. In its place, the county decided to create a groundwater advisory committee, which will be studying the effects that CAFOs can have on our groundwater.
Similar efforts at halting CAFO expansion have failed in other Midwest and Plains states, where advisory groups have also been formed and where CAFOs have the potential to pollute groundwater. Large corporate-owned farms say their operations are more efficient than small family farms and are simply meeting a growing demand. Akinson says advocates are trying to work with local officials to at least slow CAFO expansion. Known for dairy farms and cheese curds, residents of Pierce County towns such as River Falls, Spring Valley, and Ellsworth want to preserve the rural, pristine way of life the area is known for.
A lot of people come here looking for that rural way of life that you would not get in a place like the Twin Cities, for example.
CAFOs have been cited for a host of environmental problems as they expand across the country. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Mark Moran. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Dow.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Tuesday, a rainy Tuesday, October 24th, but still another beautiful day up north. Nice to have you up here from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or using the app, by podcast or social media. It's nice to have you here, dodging the raindrops, enjoying a little bit of a warmer than normal October, late October day at this point. There is a big cool down on the way, but we've got some mild temperatures in store. And again, some raindrops, some thunder, some lightning. Some of us have been up since, let's see, I think it rolled through here about 3:15. So second cup of coffee is already on board. We're ready to jump into things. We're going to talk to Christina Lori, as we do every Tuesday morning. She puts together some of the feature stories for our daily newsletter. And one of today's topics is based on a book about the things you need to see and do in Wisconsin before you die. So we ask, what's still hanging out there on your Wisconsin bucket list? And in fact, you don't even have to wait for Christina to join us at the bottom of the hour. You can go ahead and share that information right now. You can get on hold on the phones at 844-967-2789. You can also text that number, 844-967-2789. Let me bring up the text window here so that I actually see those texts when I come in. I find that to be extremely helpful, especially to you taking the time to do the texting. There we go. You can also text us or call us through the Civic Media app. If you don't have that on your phone yet, get it, because you can listen to all the different stations, all the different shows, because again, not every show is on every station across the network. So go on and get that, and then either text, call us, or email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. What is something you haven't yet done or seen in Wisconsin that you still want to do? Might be something obvious. Maybe you've never been to Lambeau Field and you want to see a Packer game. Maybe you've never seen the giant fiberglass muskie up in Hayward. You've been to the top of Tim's Hill or Rib Mountain. I've never spent a weekend in Door County. It's kind of on the bucket list for me. So we'll go over all kinds of ideas. In fact, I'm going to hit up Sam Davison in just a sec to see what, once you've seen Ringel, I know that, you know, there's probably more out there for you, but I mean, you're starting pretty high up on the list if you're right there, right?
Oh, of course. It's like the small town to end all small towns.
You can't see the last small town from here, but you know, you're not that far away. Rib Mountain is just down. You can see that from where you are. Do you go up there?
Oh, yeah.
Have you
been up there? I can see it from my backyard.
Mm-hmm. And is it something that you either have skied or climbed up or hiked?
Mm-hmm. I haven't like climbed on it in quite a few years. I did when I was a kid more, but I worked at mm-hmm. Granite Peak, the ski hill there for a couple winters. But
worked at the ski hill. What'd you do?
Mm-hmm. Worked the lifts there, the ski
okay.
lifts.
So how would you rate yourself as a skier?
Better than my brother. My brother.
Oh, well, hey, it's good to have competition that way with siblings. You know, I'm not that good, but I'm better than my brother. So that's what counts. So, so there, maybe that's one of the things that's on somebody's bucket list. Now that I've given you some time to mentally tap dance, do you have an obvious answer to something you want to see or do in Wisconsin that you haven't done yet?
That I haven't done yet? I'm not sure. I would need to see a list. But like all the things that you listed off, I'm pretty sure I've done all of those. I don't know if I've seen the giant muskie in Hayward. I don't know if I've been to Hayward before.
How about House on the Rock? Have you been there?
I was there just a couple weeks ago for the first time, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Taliesin, the Frank Lloyd Wright House, is there. Crystal Cave is a good place to go. So, all right. We'll come back to this. So we'll see what you've got as you think about things that you can do. And we'd love to have your thoughts, too, at 844-967-2789. In our second hour, we'll talk to journalist Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We're going to cover the fall legislative session, where Republicans are nixing all kinds of ideas related to improving the economy, though they did rush along a stadium bill for the Brewers, and maybe too quickly, Dan says. He and I will also talk about whether PolitiFact got it right when addressing criticism of Congressman Derek Van Orden for being in Washington, D.C. during the 2021 insurrection. We'll also get the weatherology forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki, and we'll talk to Chad Holmes and see what he's got coming up on his radio show right after this one on Bull Falls Radio. Again, remember, our schedule changed yesterday for some of the shows, so let me review that again and again remind you that you can hear these on the website, civicmedia.us. You can hear them on the Civic Media app as well. But again, coming up at 8 o'clock now, across many Civic Media stations, will be Earl Ingram and his show based out of Milwaukee. But in Wausau at Bull Falls Radio, you'll still hear Chad Holmes at 8 o'clock. Madison, you'll still be hearing Stephanie Miller. And James and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids will still be doing their thing at 8 o'clock. Everybody else will be listening to Earl. And then they're all followed by As Goes Wisconsin. And then Todd Alba's show moves from, it had been 1 to 3, it's now on from noon to 2. So Todd Alba starts at noon now. And then Matt Flynn, the person who used to sit here in this morning chair and then moved to early afternoons for an hour, is expanding to 2 hours. Matt Flynn will be on from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, followed by the Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6, Dom and Crute, and Maggie Dawn at 6 p.m. And again, you can get all of this by heading over to civicmedia.us and downloading the Civic Media app as well. Let's take a break here, and when we come back, we'll unpack the news and tell you some of the things that have been on my mind as we watch events unfold in Wisconsin. Details coming up in a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPT-US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Get a sneak preview of today's history lesson. On this day in 2000, Lenny Kravitz released his greatest hits album. Peaking at number two, the release marked his highest entry on the U.S. Albums chart. It also features this track, Again, which earns him his third consecutive Grammy for Best Male Rock Vocal Performance. We've got so much more coming up a little bit later on this hour. 6 o'clock temperatures around Wisconsin. Lake Wissota is at 52 degrees right now. Madison, you're at 62 degrees. Waukesha, La Crosse, Green Bay, you're all at 57 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids, 56. And then Wausau and Hayward reporting 49 degrees to get our day going. A very rainy morning, thunderstormy in some parts of the state. Full details on our forecast coming up from Jennifer in our next hour. The NBA season begins tonight for the league. The Milwaukee Bucks will begin their season on Thursday night at home against Philadelphia, and then they'll have home games on Sunday and Monday. And there are new reports that Giannis Antetokounmpo has signed a three-year, $186 million extension that will keep him in Milwaukee for the foreseeable future. Great news for Bucks fans. And again, that came up since we talked to Dan Schaefer, but we asked Dan about the trade for Damian Lillard, losing Drew Holiday, and he'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. To baseball, we know one of the teams going to the World Series now. We don't know the other because the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Philadelphia Phillies are going to play Game 7 of the National League Championship Series tonight. One of them will play the Texas Rangers. They routed the Houston Astros 11-4 in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series last night to punch their ticket to the World Series, which will start Friday in Arlington, Texas, either against the Phillies or the D-backs. Arizona beat Philadelphia last night 5-1 to tie that series at three games apiece. Tonight's Game 7 is in Philadelphia. The Up North News Daily newsletter is out as well, and among the stories that are in there, Wisconsin meteorologists are sending an alert about our changing climate and the need to take this seriously. And we also have a story in there. If you missed our radio show on Friday morning, we talked to the fifth Democratic candidate to join the race for the third congressional district. And our newsletter story this morning talks about some of the races to watch in 2024. All right, let's unpack the news, and happy to take your calls at 844-967-2789. One of the stories is one that we've already started to talk about, and that is, what is on your Wisconsin bucket list? What's something you haven't seen or done that you would like to do? And, you know, we'll take recommendations as well. But don't go for the cliche things. If there's something that you think people ought to have on their bucket list and you want to talk about it, either call us or text us. You know, again, you don't have to go with Lambeau Field or a Brewers game. Go with something that you've been to that you think is amazing and is, you know, underappreciated by folks around the state. We'd love to hear those ideas as well. One of the stories is going to be, it's going to make perhaps you unhappy the way that it made me unhappy. I'll talk about that in just two shakes here. I will try to come back to a couple of these others, like a book ban, an extensive book ban in Menominee Falls. There's good news about Wisconsin being named a technology hub for the CHIPS and Science Act. And what that is the government making a historic investment in not just making semiconductor chips, but all kinds of high-tech products that will improve the supply chains and make us less reliant on other countries for high-technology components. And while the manufacturing will be done in some other states, it's going to involve a lot of research, development, and early manufacturing, and Wisconsin is going to be one of the locations where that new work is going to happen. There's a story about how, remember all that beefed up money that went to the Internal Revenue Service? And critics said, oh, they're going to hire 87,000, agents to crack down on the middle class. No, that's not what it was for. And the first numbers are in on just how well that investment is paying off on catching the multimillionaire tax cheats that have been able to get away with not paying their taxes the way that, you and I have to. There's also a former Florida lawmaker, the author of the Don't Say Gay bill, who's now facing criminal charges for COVID fraud, because of course he is. If there's COVID fraud, it's usually the folks who are most likely to talk down government assistance who are taking the money. But where I really want to start is in the Chippewa Valley. And I say this in a way that's going to sound harsh, and trust me, it's on purpose. If you ever want to know how bad things have become in America, don't think about the crime. Crime fluctuates, and frankly, it isn't at levels that we've seen in the past. Don't think that it's about books that, might be controversial to some, but are definitely helpful and educational to others. Don't think that it's about, CRT, because facts matter in our history, in our science classes. Our lessons only get better with more actual facts about people from all walks of life. So no, if you want to know how bad things have become in America, look at the crowd protesting in Eau Claire last night about a proposal for the Chippewa Valley to welcome refugees from war zones and other places where their lives are endangered. Now, the story that I'm looking here on the website for WEAU-TV says, World Relief, a Christian nonprofit with locations across Wisconsin with a mission to find homes for refugees, is working with community partners to get ready to welcome refugees to the Chippewa Valley this winter. Terry McLaughlin says it is important for the community to understand the process that the refugees will go through before making their way to the Chippewa Valley. She says, quote, refugees are the most vetted people to enter the United States. They go through a very formal process overseas before they are allowed into the United States. And all that is done by our government. She notes, refugees want to work. They want to establish a family, a home, a career. They want to do well. These are the people, especially in a time of worker shortages and demographics working against us with the baby boomers. These are the folks we should be opening the door for, welcoming in. We're going to receive their gratitude for quite literally saving their lives based on the places they're escaping from, whether it's Ukraine or, now other Afghanistan before that, other hotspots in the world, parts of Central America. And then there's these guys. It started with a meeting of the Republican Party of Eau Claire County. They held a quote unquote informational meeting recently to discuss the issue. A representative from the Republican Party said there were more than 150 people in attendance, including State Senator Jesse James. Where have we heard that name before? Oh, yeah, that's right. He's the one that said to Melissa Baldoff, because she had some mean tweets, were you emotional when you wrote those tweets? Do you hate all men? Yeah, that's the Jesse James who was at a quote-unquote informational meeting that led to last night's protest with people holding all kinds of signs, some saying no refugees. One of them, quite literally, all the sign said was NIMBY, not in my backyard. I mean, talk about labeling yourself as the old man waving fist at cloud, that nothing can be in your backyard, that, you don't have to be welcoming to anybody else. They raise complaints about this all being done in darkness. No, you're there. If you're there protesting, you're aware of it. It being done in darkness would be waking up one day to find the, that Suddenly, all kinds of refugees lived in the community, were causing trouble because somebody hadn't been vetted. No, you're now part of the process. As this community did in the Chippewa Valley about 30, 40 years ago, when the first Hmong refugees arrived, and they made Eau Claire and Wausau and Green Bay and they other communities, they made it look like the promised land for people who were escaping war and famine and sexual assault and destitution and homelessness. And they have come here and they have established themselves. Is every refugee going to be a stellar citizen? Of course not. I mean, just look at the crowd of protesters last night. Do you think those are all stellar citizens? Do you think everyone in their extended family has never done time for something? The point I want to make is this, for the people in that crowd. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. If any one of your great-great-grandmothers could come back from the dead right now, forgive the language, but she would smack you right upside the head and say, "How dare you?" And then she'd recount the discrimination and the hatred from people who did not know her. They did not know her struggles. They did not know her work ethic. But because she was Italian or Irish or Jewish or German or Polish, she was told, go back where you come from, that you don't fit in, that we don't hire your kind, that we don't rent to your kind. She heard how, you know, the country is full. We can't fit anyone else in, probably because those same folks were too busy clearing away indigenous Native Americans off their land, and they were too busy to acclimate to a different ethnicity of neighbors. The whole thing just makes me ill to have watched that crowd yesterday. And that is not to say that we can't ask questions about how the process is going to work. We can make suggestions. We can raise objections. But it starts with listening. Listening to the process. Listening to how people are being vetted before they come into the country, before they come into our communities. And instead they move right into signs that actually just say NIMBY or no refugees, or the one that really got to me, deception is communism. First off, what? And second, when I see that word, the word communism on something or socialism, I just understand right away that we're talking about people being fed a very steady diet of right-wing news and talking points who could not actually explain to you what actual socialism or communism is, but it's something they don't like, quite often rooted in being generous or charitable toward people who don't look like them. And then suddenly it's communist. It's communist to teach a more accurate view of American history. It's communist to welcome people from war zones into what is still the promised land for so many people. All right, Tuesdays, we always need something a bit more uplifting, so we bring Christina Laurie in here after this break. She'll have the uplift and talk about that Wisconsin bucket list. We'd love to know what's on your Wisconsin bucket list as well. 844-967-2789. We'll take calls a little later on. I'd love to get you in the queue right now. This is Up North News Radio for this Tuesday. We'll be back.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Israel expanding its ground attacks in Gaza as its war against Hamas grinds on. Intense bombardments temporarily knocking out all communication systems. 21-year-old Palestinian student Tala Herzala.
I can't talk with my brothers. I know nothing about them. I don't know if they are alive or not, if they need anything or not.
The death toll in Gaza rising to over 8,000. It's estimated half are civilians. A mob has stormed the Makhachkala airport in the mostly Muslim ex-Soviet Republic of Dagestan in southern Russia. Surrounded a flight from Tel Aviv, apparently looking for Jewish passengers. The attack reportedly was fueled by rumors circulating on social media that refugees from Israel had been brought to Dagestan. The 54-year-old Friends superstar Matthew Perry discovered unresponsive in his jacuzzi Saturday afternoon. He was pronounced dead at the scene. The coroner investigating his cause of death. This is ABC News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Well, if you're hearing Bill Withers, it must be time for the uplift. Christina Laurie joins us now with some of the uplifting stories and other things you'll find in our newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click on newsletter, and you'll see the work she provides for us every weekday morning. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Very good, thank you. Hey, I mentioned this last week briefly when I saw it in the newsletter, a book called 100 Things to Do in Wisconsin Before You Die. And what a great idea I thought that was, because we all have our favorite things around the state, but you know, you can't possibly know of everything. So what a great deal that somebody has put this right in one book for people to maybe, you know, make some plans.
And it was no small task at all. We talked to the author. She was a blogger turned author, Danelle Gay. And she said her list, her first draft of this book started at more than 250 must-dos. Ooh. So it was really a project in and of itself, whittling it down to the top 100. But she published this book, 100 Things That You Must Do in Wisconsin Before You Die. And of course, there were things on there like tour a cranberry marsh, climb a lighthouse, eat a Kringle. But then she also got pretty specific. Grab a bowl of Booyah at the Booyah Shed in Green Bay, or discover Dr. Evermore's Forevertron. And she goes into details about all of these, why you should go. And she's has firsthand experience visiting all these attractions as well. But that got me thinking, what would be on your, what would be the number one thing on your list, Pat?
Well, I mean, I'd go cliche, obviously, you know, something like a you know, Packer game or Brewer game, Summerfest, you know, things like that. And then there are the sites that, you know, people might not normally see if they don't get there to Mount Tom or Rib Mountain. And if you were going for things that were more generic, you know, 100 things to do in Wisconsin, I'd say to spend a weekend on a cabin up north on like one of the small lakes where there's not a lot of boat traffic and just admire the clear water or the colors or whatever the case may be. What about you?
I thank you for asking. I feel like you could probably anticipate my answer. I will lump in my two favorite things all in one. I would say grab a hot and spicy cheese roll from the Dane County Farmers Market, because that is just the epitome of Wisconsin to me. That hot roll, strolling around, looking at the more than 180 vendors there that are there on any given Saturday, that is just quintessentially Wisconsin to me.
I didn't get any of those yet this year. When does the market wrap up for the year?
You have, I think, four markets left, including this Saturday. It wraps up the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. So there's still time for that. And, you know, maybe combine it since I'm getting down to that part of the state. I need to take a second trip to House on the Rock because I've only done it once. And it's one of those where you are so overwhelmed with what all is in there that you say, I need to go back. Did I really see that? And what did I miss? And you've got a story about things you might not know about House on the Rock.
I was just talking about this very thing with my parents last night because they read the article that was in our newsletter as well about what you don't know about House on the Rock. And they were like, we need to go back. But one of the things that's deterring us is the order in which you see the rooms. You start at first, it's looking rather quaint. And slowly but surely, the rooms get bigger and bigger and bigger and more packed. And by the final two rooms, you're just so overwhelmed by everything you're seeing. And the rooms are so massive. And you probably are really hungry at that point that you don't really have time to enjoy everything. So my tip, if you are going to go, make sure you leave enough time in your day and bring maybe a snack so you could properly fuel and take in everything. Because there are so many things, to say the very least, in here. Some things that you might not know, that the House on the Rock contains the world's largest carousel with 269 animals and 20,000 lights. It has a room-sized model of a blue whale. It has the infinity room, of course, which everyone loves. But even more interesting is the history behind the man who created the house, a man by the name of Alex Jordan. And he actually built it as his own personal residence, but he ended up only staying in the house four nights ever. He never married. He never had a lifelong companion. He never had any kids. And he actually almost died in a car crash after hitting a horse and breaking his neck. So when he ultimately died, his ashes were distributed over the house in 1989. And since then, it's been this massive tourist. Some people call it a tourist trap. I call it a tourist draw. I think it really is something that, even though it attracts a lot of tourists, it's something that is very interesting for locals as well. So if you haven't been there recently or since your kids were little, I'd make the case to plan a trip to Spring Green.
And it is built right into the rock there. There are some rooms that are very small and very oddly shaped in order to fit in there. There are still some of the residential rooms for the short time that it actually was a house. It is something I really was not expecting after years and years and years of seeing the billboards and finally getting there. It was really impressive. And yeah, something we've got to go back, because you can't possibly take it all in one visit.
And some people get confused and get that misplaced with Frank Lloyd Wright's house, which isn't too far away, but they are two separate attractions. Frank Lloyd Wright didn't design any part of House on the Rock, but they both are equally deserving of your attention.
Actually, I'm glad you said that, because as we were driving in that area, we realized, those two places are not far from each other, but they are two different places indeed, and both worth checking out. Let's turn toward climate matters now, and the reason why Governor Evers is leading the charge to plant many trees. I think I get the right amount of manys. It's a lot.
Yeah, a whole lot of trees. And it doesn't nearly get the amount of attention that I would think it would get for the number it is. We talk a lot about his budget, about his plans for education, about how, you know, he provided grants to help businesses bounce back after COVID, what he's doing for maternal health care. But he has this massive plan that's going to impact literally every single person that lives in our state and then the Midwest as a whole. He's trying to plant 75 million trees by the year 2030. And his administration has already planted 25 million. So they're one third of the way there. And you may be wondering, like, what, where did they come up with the 75 million number? That seems kind of arbitrary. He consulted with a team of ecologists, environmentalists, and climatologists and found that that's the number that the state will need to best combat the climate crisis that's coming to Wisconsin. There's this pretty alarming alert that came out that by the year 2080, which I know sounds far away, but when you think of it, it's actually closer than the year 1960. For those of you who remember that, by the year 2080, Wisconsin's climate is going to feel like cities that are 500 miles to our south. And while on the surface, you may think that sounds nice, we could use some more warmth. That's going to have devastating impacts on our overall climate patterns. That's going to mean more natural disasters, more flooding. I mean, and that's just the surface. So he's trying to plant these trees, which is equivalent to cutting the emissions released by 6 million cars every year. And there are other benefits of trees, of course, as well. They help store carbon dioxide, improve the air quality. If you remember all those air quality alerts we have over the summer, those will help reduce the impact and severity of those, protect wildlife, and also support our statewide economies, because the people that are planting these trees are all Wisconsin residents. It's also helping the Wisconsin lumber industry. It's helping people who our national park system. It's helping attract more tourists. It's just a really ripple multiplier effect here. Yeah, but it's such a unique program. I know, Pat, you're really ingratiated in the political scene. Have you heard of this previously? Because I just don't think it's widely discussed enough.
Yeah, I have. And the, you know, trees are a very, you know, proven way to get this done, to help combat climate change. And while it is, from what I've read, it's not humanly possible to plant as many trees as would be needed to, say, solve most of the entire crisis, the more you can plant, the better. And the political angle on this is that Republicans in the legislature have from time to time whittled down climate-related legislation. But one thing that stuck out to me was Republicans did not reduce not significantly reduce the amount of trees that they wanted to see planted, because they understood the value of that. In other words, what I got out of it was, you know, planting trees is frankly an easy thing to do, but they were fighting some of the other regulations that would be on industry about emissions and all of that. And so my message to Republicans was, hey guys, you got to do both sides of the coin. You got to both plant those trees and you've got to, you know, reduce the emissions that are coming as part of the problem. So yeah, it is something that comes up, and it, I would dare say, it's one of the more bipartisan elements of any kind of climate legislation,
which we surely could use more of. And if anyone's listening to this and they are interested, you can actually get involved as part of the program. The DNR set up an interactive map to encourage people to plant their own trees, and also a really personalized tree planting plan to help landowners find trees that are best suitable to grow on their land. So you can find those links up on our website.
All right. One more quick one about earthquakes. Earthquakes are, yeah, they happen here. They're not something that it could never happen. They do happen. The trouble spot, you know, is a little ways away, but you know, an earthquake is something that can have a real impact in Wisconsin, and has in the past.
Yeah, May 6, 1947, a lot of meteorologists will point you to that date when a 4-magnitude earthquake shook downtown Milwaukee. I mean, it was strong enough to break windows on dozens of buildings. Most of the earthquakes that are felt here in Wisconsin, though, actually originate in northern Illinois, which is home to a few active faults. But that could be changing again as a result of climate change. So we did just a little breakdown on what this could mean for the future. Seismologists say it's very possible and even probable that Wisconsin will experience another major earthquake in the next century. There's a place called the New Madrid Zone, which stretches from western Tennessee all the way to Missouri. And that's been known to produce a series of quakes that have registered in 8 magnitude or greater. Once you get above 8, I mean, that's the part that really levels entire buildings, crushes homes, causes a lot of damage. Yes. So if this were to happen again, the waves would easily travel all the way through Midwest from as far south as southern Tennessee. And we'd not only feel them here, but likely sustain some damage. So again, going back to the tree planting story full circle, that's the importance of actually paying attention to climate change and not just calling it global warming, because the biggest impact isn't just those warming daily temperatures. It's all of the natural disasters that come as a result of those.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks in southern Wisconsin aware of the New Madrid Fault and, you know, the ability to do a little bit of shaking. They've been much smaller, tremblers in the past, but there is always the possibility of something bigger there. Now, you would have learned about all of this had you been a subscriber to our daily newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the top banner, and you'll see stories like that that Christina Lurie puts together for us every weekday morning. Christina, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You as well, Pat, and thank you for promoting our newsletter. We have a bunch of new content coming out this week, especially if you love soup.
Soup? I love soup.
Little tease for you.
All right. Thanks, Christina. See you later.
Bye, Pat.
All right. So there you go. Soup, Sam. Well, we're on notice.
What was that? Sorry. What about soup?
I said Christina's next visit is going to include something about soup. Oh. So, you know, which I was contemplating making yesterday in my Instapot. I was looking at making either some chicken tortilla soup or some white chicken chili because it's getting to be that time of year.
Both sound good.
Yeah, they do. Okay, I've given you a little bit of time to think here. All this talk about a Wisconsin bucket list. Anything new that you want? I've come up with a few things here. Let's see. So I've mentioned Amnokon Falls State Park. I've loved the pictures. I'd love to go see it. I'd like to hike a few parts of the Ice Age Trail, nothing too challenging. I'd like to bike the Elroy Sparta Bike Trail, and I want to get to more supper clubs. I'm not going to hit all of them, but I'd like to get to more supper clubs. So,
I did think of one. Yes. So on Highway 29, if you're heading out west, the town of Thorpe, you see a lot of signs for the Thorpedo Restaurant.
Yes,
I've never been to the Thorpedo. I want to try it.
You got to scratch it off the list. I mean, it's one of those old-timey family restaurants, you know, the way Heckle's Big Steer used to be back in the day. But it's the Thorpedo. Mm-hmm. It's got a great play on words. So you got to go there, and then just on the other side of the of 29 from there is the new Marietta Gouda setup as well. So plenty of reasons to get to Thorpe. All right, today's history lesson and music break are coming up next. You're up north.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. You may be aware that online crime is a huge threat, but did you know this problem could be a great career opportunity for you? Cybersecurity experts are in high demand and well paid. You can position yourself for this specialty in months, not years, at My Computer Career, even with no prior IT experience. Learn how you can train for this rewarding career at mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over
and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, coming up next, Earl Ingram on most of these civic media stations, Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and the Gang in Wisconsin Rapids. They're all followed by As Goes Wisconsin, Todd Alba at noon, Matt Flynn at 2, Devil's Advocates at 4, and Maggie Dawn at 6. And again, a new Madison local show will be on Mad Radio 92.7 come Monday, and you'll find Up North News Radio all across many stations on the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app. And that app is going to get a workout tonight as people monitor some of the high school football games that are on Civic Media stations around the state, part of a extremely busy sports weekend. So with Dan Schumacher off this week, nice to have Jimmy Koska back with us once again. Jimmy, good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
It's going well. I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover, so we better take care of the high school football playoffs before we forget. So, again, for the folks that don't follow it closely, this is week number 2. So how much did we cut everything in half? What are we down to? How many teams or how many games or brackets?
So we went from 240 teams. Now we're at 120 teams. So we went from 224 and 11 player. That's now 112 and 11 player. And 8 player, it goes from 16 on down to 8. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. And these are like the longer road trips now. I know, like right here in Chippewa Falls, they're playing Neenah, so they have to travel all the way to Neenah. So there's a lot of road work being done tonight.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, and this happens when you have teams. The first round, typically, you get a lot of those closer conference-type matchups. But this round, there are some incredible road trips this week. In fact, with all the weather that we're having this week, with some of the rain, a number of schools have actually opted to go to neutral sites. So you see some games in the middle of the state. You know, on neutral sites, Stanley Boyd is hosting a neutral site game, for example. But there are still some teams that want to hold on to that home field advantage. So, for example, in Division 5, Lancaster has to head all the way over to Kenosha this week. That's going across the state, along the state line, on the bottom of the state. So, yes, travel times do increase as you go further into the playoffs. Neutral sites start coming more into play the deeper you go to.
And for their fans, for parents and everybody who want to make that trip, I mean, again, that just it you're putting on the miles, and especially with the weather being what it is, hopefully folks are nice and careful there. You know, you specifically, do you watch at a particular, you know, bracket level or a region of the state, or do you just always have like this 30,000 foot view of everything that's happening?
Well, during the season, I'm a high school football coach, so I coach at a very small school, mm-hmm. So I have more knowledge of what happens at the small school level just by being in it. But before this, it wasn't that long ago, a couple of years, that I was calling games in the Madison and Milwaukee area. So I feel like I have a good view of what's happening, and I know that this week, I know that in Division I especially, there are some really fun matchups involving rivalry games. For example, in the Madison area, you've got Middleton, Verona. In the Milwaukee area, Oak Creek and Franklin, a classic rivalry. And then there are just some fun matchups all over the bracket, especially at the larger school level. You know, Spash going over to play Kimberly, that's a fun matchup. Not to say there aren't some great matchups at the small school level. I think if you're talking small school matchups, how much greater can it be than seeing Edgar and Regis square off in a game here in northwestern Wisconsin, right?
Actually, yeah. Edgar is a powerhouse. So many of the schools in that area are. That would be a good one to see.
Yeah, that one is happening this week in Edgar, by the way, in a matchup that happened last year in the playoffs. I think once you get to this stage, though, you're talking about the elite teams. And I think the teams that advance to next week, that's the state quarterfinals, and that's where you really draw the line and say, wow, these are the best of the best. And the matchups you get next week could be incredible. They could be conference championship-level rematches. Some of them could offer even state-level matchups between some of the higher-ranked teams.
And by the way, you mentioned doing your own kind of coaching. Don't be so modest. The little birdie has mentioned here that you were named Assistant Coach of the Year by the Ridge and Valley Conference. So, you know, you're not sloughing off over there.
No, this is what I do in my free time, apparently. But yeah, it was quite the honor. But, you know, I got to be honest, there's a lot of great work being done across the state. We hear about head coaches and things, but there are volunteers, there are community members, there are people that work behind the scenes to make high school football as great as it is here in the great state of Wisconsin. And you just can't do it without an Army, right?
That's right. And look, there's again, so much going on here. You've got the Packers playing the Vikings at Lambeau Sunday at noon. You had the Bucks starting the season last night at home, beating the 76ers 118-117. Blowing a 19-point lead, but then coming back. Damian Lillard scored 39 points, highest point total for a player making his Bucks debut. This is for real, it appears to be, Lillard and Giannis being together there. This
very excited for the Bucks having a closer, a true closer, to bring in those fourth quarter situations. It's going to be a lot of fun for the Bucks. You got to mention too, high school playoffs, not just football. Volleyball's into its sectional finals tomorrow. Cross country has its state meet tomorrow in Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, that's right. Thank you for bringing that up. When you're talking about volleyball, you have to mention the Badger women. They are at Michigan State this evening, their first match since losing at Nebraska last Saturday. Then on Sunday afternoon, they're back home to take on Minnesota. And you got the Badger men's hockey team, which beat the number one ranked Minnesota Gophers on the road last night, 5-2. They'll go for the sweep tonight. Badger men's hockey now 6-1. You've got Badger football. They're 5-2 on the season, and they play Saturday night, tomorrow night at Camp Randall against Ohio State on NBC. And then Badger women's hockey, number one ranked team in the country, 8-0. They're in the Twin Cities to take on St. Thomas today and tomorrow. And then somewhere buried in all that is the World Series, starting between Arizona and Texas. But we have enough to work with right here within our own borders.
I think we have a lot going on sports-wise. It is a fantastic time of year. All the overlap in sports in October, November, it is so much fun, Pat.
So to catch these, and you're much more up to speed on this, I hope, than I am. But there are still plenty of games that people can catch on their civic media stations or through the app tonight.
Yes, we have a number of high school football games. Check out your local listings where you're listening at. But it's level two of the playoffs. There's still over 100 teams going in both 11 and 8 player. And a number of those games are heard right on civic media stations. It won't be that way as we get further in the playoffs, but we will still have coverage for any of the local teams that still remain the further we go in the WIAA state football playoffs.
And again, and I feel like, Chad, I know you're listening. I'm not trying to rub salt in the wound. Just talk about unlucky to have all three of the teams that he works with all lose last week. He's saying the right thing that he feels bad, but I kind of feel like, okay, you get a weekend off, put your feet up for a little bit, you know?
High school basketball practices are starting next week.
So. He told us he's got a busy, busy high school basketball season coming up. So there will be, he will not lack for things to do.
No, I don't think any of us broadcasters will, because it does a winter season with the far increased number of games between basketball, hockey, wrestling. There's so much more going on in the winter where football is a nice routine. It's a game a week, whatever. But in basketball, you could have four games in a week. It gets pretty crazy.
Exactly. Jimmy Koska, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend.
Hey, you too, Pat. Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for us here. A reminder, once again, that Up North News is a digital outlet for Courier Newsroom, separate from Civic Media, but we are so thankful to be with you for 2 hours every morning. You can keep up to date with what Up North News is doing by getting our daily newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the banner on the top page there. Follow us on social media by looking for Up North News WI, or follow me by looking for Pat Kreitlow. Have a great weekend. Glad you could join us. And we'll see you back here come Monday morning, 6 a.m.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Pat, it's like, have you ever been at a bar where a fight breaks out and it catches people in it who weren't even part of the altercation to begin with? That's what the House of Representatives looks like right now. Even Republicans in the Senate are looking at that and going, what in God's name are you doing?
I want to go drinking with Joe now. I want to know what bar he's going to.
That sounds like an interesting time.
Joe, you have way more interesting watering holes than me.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy.
Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Right. Do you ever have ladies come to your shop, your beautiful, wonderful store on Military, and ask if the diamond they got was real?
Absolutely. ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.